It's time to turn off the lights and turn on the dark.
Chilling tales for dark nights.
Good evening, listener, and welcome back to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights, the podcast that dares to turn off the lights and turn on the dark. I'm your host, Steve Taylor, and tonight we're diving into fluorescent purgatory, where security cameras lie, mannequins grin, and something with your name and face walks the halls after hours. In this Monday night's episode, we present a nightmarish descent into paranoia, decay, and doubled identity. A story that begins with a simple night watch job at a shuttered shopping mall and ends with a shattered sense of self. This tale doesn't involve ghosts, at least not the kind you'd recognize. Instead, it explores the horrors of rotted consumerism, looping time, and the slow breakdown of identity in the face of isolation and surveillance. It's about routines that trap you instead of freeing you, and what happens when your reflection stops obeying you. And to bring this surreal, slow-burning nightmare to life, we've enlisted a voice as hypnotic as it is horrifying. Dr. Creepin, returning to our stage after unforgettable turns in episode number 320, The Cost of Curiosity, and our recent April episode number 364, What We Bury. If you've heard those performances, you know what's coming. And if you haven't, you're about to understand why his name echoes through the vaults of horror. So check your reflection, memorize the route to the break room, and whatever you do, don't let the other you make it upstairs. Turn off the lights and turn on the dark. Our tale tonight introduces us to a man newly hired to monitor a condemned mall after hours. Just a temporary gig, he's told. Just a routine watch. But when the mannequins seem to move between camera sweeps, when he starts hearing himself on the radio, and when the logbook begins recording things he hasn't done, he begins to suspect he isn't alone. Not quite. To guide you through the security feed of madness, we brought back a voice that feels made for this tale. Dr. Creepin, the chilling talent behind Dr. Creepin's Vault on YouTube and Dr. Creepin's Dungeon, his eerie, long-running podcast. Without further ado, I present to you Welcome to the Graveyard Shift by Margot Holloway, as performed by Dr. Creepin.
July 1st, the first night. Oh, welcome to the graveyard shift, eh? Oh, honestly, I took the job because I needed the money. Simple as that. The mall's been closed for years, left to rot like the rest of this town. Well, they still pay someone to keep an eye on it. A security guard to make sure no one breaks in. No homeless squatters, no teenage thrill seekers trying to film some urban exploration nonsense. I just walk the empty halls, check the cameras, and clock out at sunrise. Easy work. Truth be known, the place isn't in bad shape. Sure, there's plenty of dust, and some of the neon signs flicker like they've got a death rattle, but it's not some crumbling ruin. Even the escalators still work when I flip the breaker. The air, though, that smells like a ghost of the old food court. Grease, stale cinnamon, something artificial. Well, too fresh, to be honest. You know what? Tell myself I imagined that part. The floors are still polished enough to reflect the overhead lights, but they make the place look wrong. It's too bright in some spots, swallowed by shadows in others. A few storefronts still have old sale posters in the windows, frozen in time. Buy one, get one free. Final clearance, everything must go. Last time I set foot in this place, God, I must have still been a teenager. Back then it had a life. Shoppers hurrying between stores, kids loitering outside the arcade, the smell of cheap pizza and pretzels filling the air. That was before the crash, before businesses dried up and moved elsewhere. Now, it's a corpse, and I'm the one keeping watch over the body. Well, there are stories about this place, of course. Urban legends. Every town has them. When I was younger, people whispered about shadows moving behind the storefront glass, voices coming from the empty food court, the occasional security guard who quit without explanation. I'd heard the usual ghost stories too. Tales about the mall being built over burial grounds, old tunnels, places best left undisturbed. Back then, I'd laughed them off. Just dumb rumors. But now, standing alone in the middle of it all, I don't feel like laughing. Still, I tell myself the same thing I did when I took the job. It was just a building, nothing more. I check my watch. 10:47 p.m. Now, my shift officially starts at 11, but I wanted to get here early, get a feel for the place. The security office is near the old Sears, a windowless room with outdated monitors and a desk that smells like stale coffee. A single metal filing cabinet sits in the corner. It's locked. The monitors flicker to life when I hit the switch, 12 feeds in all, one for each wing of the mall, plus a few in the service corridors. Well, most show nothing but empty hallways, silent and still. The one outside the food court is the same, except for the occasional glitch, static ripple crawling across the screen. I make a mental note to check the wiring later. Well, there's an old logbook on the desk. The page is yellowed with time. I quickly flip through it, scanning the last few entries. June 23rd, 2:14 a.m. Heard something in the west corridor. Checked it out, nothing there. June 24th, 3:41 a.m. Power flickered again. PA system made a noise, almost like music. June 25th, 4:02 a.m. Saw movement on camera 3. No one there. And then nothing, no more entries. Damn, the last guard must have left in a hurry. I grab my flashlight, clip my radio to my belt, and step out into the mall. Feels too quiet. I mean, not just empty, hollow. The silence isn't natural. It presses in on me, like the whole building is waiting for something. I shake the feeling off and start my first patrol. The first hour is uneventful. I walk the halls, flashlight cutting through the dark. My footsteps echo back at me, the only sound in a place that once thrived with light. The food court tables are still set, as if waiting for customers who'll never come. The plastic chairs are slightly pulled out, frozen mid-motion, abandoned in a hurry. A few empty soda cups remain on the tables, lids sunken, straws discolored. Well, I try not to think about how the janitors should have cleaned all this up before the mall shut down. The mannequins in the department store windows stand like frozen spectators, blank faces staring out into nothing. Some are missing limbs. Others are dressed in outdated clothes. Pastel polos. Acid-washed jeans. Something wrong about the way they stand, though. Not quite symmetrical. Not quite balanced. Well, I keep moving. The neon sign outside an old Radio Shack flickers when I pass. The bulbs hum, buzzing like trapped insects. The gate to the store is down and locked. Has been for years. But inside, I swear I see movement. Just a shadow. Could be my own reflection. Well, I don't stop to check. And it happens near the carousel. I pause to take a sip from my water bottle, leaning against the metal railing around the ride. The horses are faded, their once bright colors muted with dust. And then I hear it. Faint, more music. Oh, I straighten up, turning my head to listen. and it's distant, like a song playing from a speaker buried under concrete. Fuzzy, warped, a tune I almost recognize but can't quite place. Well, the thing is, the mall's PA system is dead. I checked. The power is off. I grip my flashlight tighter, scanning the ceiling where the speakers are mounted. Nothing. I tell myself it's just sound traveling from outside. Maybe a car with a bass turned up, part too close to the building. But the mall walls are thick, too thick. I shouldn't be able to hear anything. Take a slow step forward. Music coming from deeper inside, past the carousel, down the wide corridor lined with empty storefronts. The song is half familiar, like something I heard as a kid. Or commercial jingle, maybe. And then it stops, dead silent. It was like it was never there at all. A chill runs down my spine, but I shake it off. Probably just my mind playing tricks on me. Still, I can't help but check over my shoulder. I settle into the shift. Tell myself it's just another night job. Walk the halls, check the cameras. Ignore the way the darkness presses in at the edges of my flashlight's beam. Then, patterns start. 11:47 p.m. I pass the department store again, letting my light sweep over the display. The mannequins stand just like before, their plastic faces blank. I walk a little further, pausing at the next storefront. The glass is covered in dust, reflecting my own tired face back at me. Well, something nags at me. I turn back to the department store window. One of the mannequins is different. Its head is tilted, just slightly, turned toward the path where I just walked. Like it's watching. I hold my breath. No, that's not right. I tell myself I must have missed it before. Maybe a trick of the shadows. Maybe I'm just tired. Well, I keep moving. 12:20 a.m. At the security station, I check the monitors. The feeds flicker, switching between angles. Grainy, black and white shots of empty hallways. The upper level, the food court. Then, static. I frown. The cameras have been faulty for years, I guess, but something about the sudden glitch puts me on edge. The static clears. For half a second, I swear I see movement on the upper level. A figure blurred by the distortion. My breath catches, and I switch the feed back. Nothing. Just empty corridors and locked storefronts. I exhale slowly. I'm imagining things. I must be. Still, I feel colder than I did before. 1:04 a.m. I head toward the old bookstore, near the back of the mall. A wall clock still hangs just inside, its glass cracked, hands frozen in time. I shine my light on it as I pass. 4:02 a.m. When I stop, that can't be right. I check my watch, 1:04 a.m. My stomach tightens. I take a step back. The cracked glass catches the light at a different angle. The hands haven't moved. They're stuck. And I swallow hard and keep walking. 1:40 a.m. I look back toward the security office. The department store window is on my right as I pass. Well, I don't want to look, but I do. The mannequin that had its head tilted? Now it's facing the opposite direction. I stop. My pulse hammers in my ears. I don't know what it was like before. But I know it wasn't like that before. I would have noticed. The feeling settles in my chest. Deep. Instinctual. I am not alone. I turn quickly, scanning the corridor behind me. My flash beam cuts through the dark. Nothing. No movement, no sound. Just the faint buzz of an old neon sign flickering overhead. I tell myself to calm down. It's just my imagination. But I pick up my pace anyway. 2:12 a.m. Back at the security station, I check the cameras again. The upper level feed glitches. For a fraction of a second, I see something in the distance. It's not a person, well, not exactly. A shape, just at the edge of the frame. It disappears before I can process it. God, I feel cold all over, and I switch the feed back. Just me. Just me in this whole empty mall. 3 a.m. I tell myself I'm being ridiculous. I need to prove it to myself, so I go for another walkthrough. I check the food court, the loading bay, the abandoned arcade with its silent screen-burnt machines. Everything's just as it should be. Oh, I start to feel better. And then I see it. The back hallway door, the one leading to storage rooms and old employee offices. It was locked earlier. Now it's open. A sliver of darkness yawns beyond the threshold. The air feels wrong, too still, too expectant. A step closer, my heart pounding. Something is waiting. I hesitate. I mean, it could be a mistake. The lock was faulty, or someone forgot to secure it before the mall shut down. Yeah, that's what I tell myself, but my body doesn't believe it. There's a feeling in my gut, tension winding its way into my limbs like a warning I don't understand. And still, I step inside. The hallway is longer than I remember. It should only be about 20 feet. A short stretch of bland corridor leading to the old employee offices and storage rooms. But as I walk, the air gets heavier, staler. I shine my flashlight along the floor. All the tiles look different here, older. The linoleum pattern has changed, no longer the scuffed off-white flooring I'd walked over earlier. Now this looks older than the rest of the mall. A darker color, worn down in strange patterns, like hundreds of footsteps have passed through here over the years. I stop. Something feels off. The glass behind me. The door I just walked through looks further away than it should. I mean, the hallway seems stretched. No, that's impossible. I keep moving. There's another door ahead, standing slightly ajar. I don't remember this one. Looks older, too. A heavy wooden thing, completely out of place in a building from the 1980s. The paint is peeling and the handle is an old-fashioned brass knob, the kind you'd see in a house from decades before the mall even existed. My flashlight catches movement inside. Just a flicker, like something shifting in the dimness beyond. Yeah, this is a trick of the air, I tell myself, or maybe a rat. Yeah, a rat. I step closer, and the PA system crackles to life. The sound cuts through the silence like a blade. A burst of static and then a faint, distorted whisper. My name. I freeze. My skin goes ice cold. And the PA system has been dead for years. I turn slowly, flashlight trembling in my grip. The hallway behind me looks wrong. It's even longer now. I can still see the door I came through, but it's much further away. Like I took 20 steps, but the distance double behind me. That's not possible. I turn back to the open door. The darkness beyond it feels too deep. Like something is waiting. Well, I don't go through, not yet. Instead, I step back. Reach for the doorknob and pull it shut. The second door clicks into place, and the air feels lighter. Like I just slammed something out. I stand there for a long moment, my heart hammering. Then I turn and head back the way I came. I don't check the security cameras again, though. I don't want to see what's on them. I sit at the security desk, rubbing a hand over my face. One more hour, that's all. Just 60 minutes, and I can be out of here. I can go home, crawl into bed, and convince myself that nothing weird happened tonight. I then glance at the monitors. Something's different. I lean forward, staring at the grainy black and white feeds. The mannequins have moved. Not just one, all of them. Every mannequin in the department stores, the clothing boutiques, even the old window displays. They're no longer in the positions I saw them in earlier. They're facing the cameras now. Their blank, plastic faces stare directly into the lenses. A cold sensation trickles down my spine. I swallow, scanning the feeds. I know they weren't like that before. Earlier, they were arranged normally, dressed in outdated fashion and mid-stride in fake promotional displays, but now they look posed, deliberate, like they're watching me. I don't breathe, I don't blink. I check another camera, the food court. The chairs have been rearranged. Before, they were scattered, some overturned like they'd been abandoned in a rush. But now, they form a perfect circle. Neatly arranged, symmetrical. I stare at the screen. Who the hell? No. No one's here. I am alone. A chill creeps through my body. Something is wrong. I reach for the radio. Static hisses from the speaker even before I press the button. A whisper seeps through. I jerk my hand away. The whisper doesn't stop. It's not words exactly, just a breath, drawn out, endless. The screens flicker. Static. A sharp burst of white noise blasts through the monitors, the kind of interference that makes your teeth ache. For a split second, I see it. A figure, standing just outside the security office. Tall, still, a silhouette against the glass door. I spin around. The hallway outside is empty. I know what I saw. I whip back to the monitors, and the static flickers again. The figure's closer this time, and I can catch details. The shape of a man. A mall security uniform just like mine. His head is tilted too far forward. Can't see his face. My pulse pounds in my ears. And another flicker. He's gone. The hallway behind me is still empty. The power flickers. The overhead lights buzz, dim, then flare. The monitors flash to black. For a moment, I'm completely blind, and then the sound of footsteps, slow, measured, coming from inside the security office, behind me. I whip around. Nothing. The room is empty. The only sound is my own ragged breathing. And the monitors blink back to life. The mannequins have moved again. They aren't facing the cameras anymore. They're facing me. I stand up so fast my chair scrapes against the floor. Enough. I'm done. Whatever this is, my mind playing tricks, some elaborate prank or something else, I don't care anymore. I grab my flashlight, my radio, and my keys. One more sweep of the mall, then I'm out. I don't finish my rounds. I can't. My hands are still gripping the edge of the desk, knuckles white, but I don't remember sitting back down. My breathing is uneven, my chest tight like something's pressing against it. And the monitors still show the mannequins, facing me, watching. I tear my gaze away and force myself to stare at the far wall instead. I don't check the cameras again. I don't look at the food court, I don't look at the mannequins. I just sit in silence. And I wait. The PA system crackles. A soft, distant sound, like someone breathing. I press my hands over my ears. Not real. Not real. Not real. I stare at the clock on the security desk. 3:57 a.m. 3 more minutes. I can make it 3 more minutes. I don't move. I don't blink. 3:58 a.m. Lights overhead flicker. A shadow moves. Inside the room. Shut my eyes. I won't look. 3:59 a.m. My radio hisses with static. A voice comes through. Not words. Just a whisper. I press my hands over my ears. I don't listen. 4 a.m. A soft knock at the door. Just one. I stay perfectly still. The air in the security office feels wrong. It's too heavy, too thick. Like something else is here with me. I don't turn around. 4:01 a.m. The whisper stops and everything is silent. The lights hold steady and the air feels normal again. But I still don't move. Not yet. 4:02 a.m. The clock stops. A single blink and the numbers vanish. I hear the sound of the glass doors creaking open, but I haven't moved yet. It's time to go. I stand up, legs unsteady. I don't check the cameras. I don't look at the mannequins. I don't look at the food court. I just walk through the hall, past the empty stores, toward the exit. The glass doors feel heavier than before. But I push them open, stepping out into the humid summer air. The heat presses against me, sweat beading on my forehead. For the first time all night, I breathe. Then I get in my car, turning the key with shaking hands. The dashboard lights flicker on. The digital clock glows in the dark. 4:02 a.m. I never check my watch, never check my phone. Security desk clock could have been wrong, I suppose. The car's clock could be wrong, but I feel it in my bones. It's not. Something changed inside that mall. Or maybe I did. Or tomorrow night I come back. I don't want to, but I have to. I grip the steering wheel, my breath slowing, heartbeat steadying. It's over, at least for tonight. Throw the car into reverse, ready to leave this place behind. And then my radio crackles. Not the mall's radio, my car radio. A familiar tune starts playing. The same warped mall music from earlier. My breath catches. I reach for the dial, twisting it all the way down, but the music doesn't stop. It just keeps playing. Faint. Muffled. Like it's coming from under the seats. Like it's coming from inside the car. The rearview mirror flickers. For a second, I swear I see movement. A shape in the back seat. I twist around, heart pounding. Nothing. Just an empty car. But as I turn back to the wheel, I see it. My reflection in the rearview mirror. Only I'm still sitting at the security desk. The radio hisses, then the music cuts out. Silence. I don't breathe, I don't move. Then slowly the clock on my dashboard changes. The glowing numbers shift, flickering, stuttering until they settle on 4:02 a.m. Again, and again, and again. Like I never left. July 2nd, the second night. Back in the same spot as last night, under the one flickering light in the otherwise dark lot. The mall looms ahead, a silent monument to something forgotten. Take a deep breath, gripping my notebook before shoving it into my jacket pocket. I'd taken it from the office last night, intending to write down everything from then when I got home, but things didn't go as planned. I somehow got home, although I have no recollection of the journey after leaving the mall. I spent the last few hours debating whether I should even return, but like I said, I need the money. It's just another shift, I tell myself. Just another quiet night of walking empty halls and checking locked doors. But the moment I step inside, something feels off. The air is thick, stale, carrying a scent that wasn't there before. Something faintly metallic, like old pennies left in the sun. Well, the silence feels deeper, heavier, as if the mall itself is holding its breath. I scan the entrance, the rows of shuttered storefronts, the dead electronic kiosks covered in dust. Everything looks exactly as it did when I left. Still, my fingers tighten around my notebook. I pass the department store where the mannequin stood last night. They're there again, still as ever, their plastic limbs locked in artificial poses. I don't stop to look at them this time. I won't give them that power. My boots echo against the tiles as I make my way toward the security office. I try to convince myself that tonight will be different, that if I focus on the job, if I write everything down, I can make sense of what happened before. Maybe even prove that nothing did happen. But as I reach the office door and punch in the security code, a single intrusive thought worms its way into my mind. If nothing happened, then why do I feel like something has been waiting for me to come back? My pulse is slow and steady, but there's a cold pressure at the base of my skull, an animal instinct that tells me I'm being watched. I stand still, listening. The air hums with silence. The PA system stays dead. No lingering hiss of static, no hint that it was ever on. Just darkness and the quiet hum of my own breath. I turn back toward the hallway, shaking my head. It's just the acoustics, an old building full of hollow spaces, the sound bouncing around and distorting itself, that's all. But then, footsteps. Close. Not an echo, not mine. Something deliberate. Someone else moving when I'm standing still. I whip around, flashlight cutting through the dark. My beam glides over the tiled floor, across the rows of lifeless storefronts, sweeping past empty chairs and tables. Nothing moves. I hold my breath, straining my ears. But the sound is gone. It was just my imagination, just a trick of an old building settling, I tell myself. But when I turn again, my stomach knots. Because the store clock, the one that read 4:02 a.m. last night, now reads 4:02 a.m. again. My watch, 11:15 p.m. I step back. My fingers tighten around my flashlight. The mole is playing with me. I grip my pen too tightly as I find an empty page and scribble in the notebook. Second person on camera. Security guard in old uniform. Heard voice on PA. Footsteps. My handwriting is uneven, scrawled in a way that betrays my nerves. I force myself to breathe. I can't lose control. That's how fear gets in, how it starts to rot you from the inside out. The mole is playing tricks, that's all. I shove the notebook back into my pocket and continue my rounds. The food court is empty, just as I left it. But the air feels different, charged, like right before a storm. I move carefully, scanning every darkened storefront. Then I see something that stops me cold. A tray of food, sitting untouched on one of the tables. That wasn't there before. The burger is still wrapped in wax paper, the fries arranged in a neat little pile. A full drink sits beside it, condensation still fresh on the plastic cup. Step closer. Pulse thudding in my ears. God, the logo on the cup. It's not right. It's from a Ruby Tuesdays, a restaurant that hasn't existed in this mall since the early 90s. I reach out and press a finger against the cup. The ice inside shifts, clinking gently. It's real. Fresh. And then, right behind me, the chair moves. I spin, flashlight sweeping over the tables. Nothing. The chairs are still, except for one. It's pulled back like someone was just sitting there and stood up. Scan the food court again. I feel it before I see it. Something watching me. I step my head back toward the nearest storefront, heart hammering. For a moment, I think I see movement in the glass, a shape shifting behind the display window. But when I focus, there's nothing. Just a reflection. Just me. I swallow hard and turn away. I need to check the cameras again. I walk faster than I should back to the security office, gripping my flashlight like a weapon. The moment I step inside, the monitors flicker. Static, and then the food court. Live feed. I see myself, frozen in the frame, standing exactly where I was seconds ago. But there's something else now. A figure sitting at the table where the fresh tray of food was left. Head bowed, hands resting on the table. The screen distorts, flickering again. When the image returns, the table is empty. And the tray of food? Gone. I run my hand over the cover of an old logbook, feeling the cracks in the old leather. It's the one I saw last night. Warped from time, the pages inside stiff with age. One of the more kept records of its guards, but this isn't part of the official reports. This is something else. I flip through the pages, scanning the cramped handwriting. Most of it's mundane, notes about trespassers, maintenance requests, the usual. But then the entries change. Things I didn't see last time. The writing grows shakier, more urgent. Night one. Small things, lights flickering. Thought I heard voices, but the mall creaks a lot at night. It's probably just the vents. Night two. The patterns are becoming clearer. The mall doesn't sleep when we do. Saw someone at the food court. Didn't belong, uniform was wrong, like from another decade. Check cameras. Nothing there. But I saw my reflection in the glass later. There were two of me. I stopped breathing. This isn't possible. I flipped through more pages, my pulse hammering. The dates don't make sense. And the ink is old, faded, but the last entry is from over 30 years ago. Night three. The stairwell appeared today. I know it wasn't there before. The others didn't see it, but I did. I went down. There was another mall beneath the mall. The food court, the stores, untouched by time. And the people? God, they weren't people. I slam the log shut, my hands trembling. No. Something left behind by a bored employee. Except I know better. I felt the difference in the air tonight. I saw the figure in the food court, the old tray of food, the second me on the cameras, and now I know I'm not the first to see things, these things. I've got to get out of here. I turn toward the door, and then the PA system crackles to life. A low, distorted voice, garbled like a record skipping over itself. I freeze. It's not just static, it's a voice calling to me. The mall doesn't sleep when we do. I don't know how I know this, but something tells me neither did they. My breath is shallow, my pulse hammering against my ribs. I tell myself to turn back, to go up the stairs and walk out of this place to never return, but I don't. I step forward. The floor is different here. Clean, unscuffed. The tiles haven't been dulled by decades of footsteps. No dust, no decay. It's as if this food court never closed. As if it's been waiting for me. The smell of food clings to the air. Hot pretzels, greasy fries, sweet, artificial cinnamon. Oh, my stomach turns. These scents shouldn't exist in a place abandoned for years. Yet the trays, scattered across tables, half-eaten meals still on them. They look fresh. My eyes scan the storefronts. Taco Town, Great American Pretzel, Hot Spot Burgers. Logo straight out of another era. They match the old advertisements I saw in the security office. The ones from the 80s. The neon signs glow with a faint hum. It shouldn't be possible. In the mall's power is dead. And then something shifts at the farthest table. A shadow. Not a trick of the flickering lights, not my reflection in the polished tile. Oh, something moves. It's not walking, not even standing. sitting at one of the tables. I take a step closer. The air changes. It's warmer, thicker, as if the very space around me is reacting to my presence. I can see it now. A man. He sits perfectly still, back straight, hands resting on the table. His uniform is a security guard's like mine, but older, outdated. The patches on his sleeves are sun-faded, the colors drained. He doesn't react to me. I swallow hard, my throat dry. Hello? No response. I force myself forward inch by inch until I can see his face, or rather what's left of it. His skin is smooth. Too smooth, I mean, no wrinkles, no pores, no features. Just a blank, mannequin-like surface where his face should be. A breath of cold air brushes my neck, and I spin around. The tables aren't empty anymore. More figures, more people, wearing faded 80s fashion, slumped in chairs, standing behind counters. Their clothes hang loose, like the air inside them has gone out. Their faces are wrong, empty, smooth, mannequin faces. I stagger back. My vision tunnels, the room feels smaller, pressing in, suffocating, and then the sound of footsteps. Coming down the stairs behind me, someone is following me. I turn and see myself stepping off the last stair. My uniform, my stance, my flashlight gripped tight. But his face is blank. The second me tilts its head, then it takes a step forward. I run. I don't look back. The air thickens, pressing against me as I sprint up the stairs. My legs burn, my breath comes in ragged gasps, but I don't stop. I can't stop. The walls feel closer, the sound of my own footsteps echoing back at me, distorted, wrong, like there's a fraction of a second delay. Like something else is running just behind me. The stairwell is longer than before. The steps stretch, multiplying beneath my feet. The air smells different again, dustier, older, tinged with something faintly metallic. I reach the top at last, spilling into the back hallway, nearly losing my footing as I slam the heavy metal door behind me. The silence swallows me whole. I brace against the door, my hands shaking. Skin is clammy, my uniform damp with sweat. The mall is deathly quiet. No breathing, no footsteps, no movement. But it's not over. The air feels alive, like the mall itself is awake now, watching me. The walls seem closer. The floors groan softly, almost like something shifting beneath them. The fluorescent lights overhead buzz and flicker, dimming for half a second before stabilizing. Force myself to move, my legs unsteady. I need to see, I need to know what's happening. I push through the hallway, past the mannequins in the department store windows. I don't check if they've moved. I already know the answer. When I reach the security office, I slam the door shut behind me and collapse into the chair. My pulse is a hammer in my throat. The monitors glow in the dim light, stacked 4x4, displaying every corner of the mall. Fingers hover over the keyboard. I don't know what I'm hoping for. Proof that I imagined it, maybe? Some kind of rational explanation. But when I flip through the feeds, the cold certainty settles deep in my stomach. The cameras are showing below. The food court beneath the food court. It's not empty anymore. Figures sit at the tables perfectly still. Their clothes are from another time. Denim jackets, pastel windbreakers, thick-rimmed glasses. Their faces are blank, but they're watching. Not at the security office, not at the camera itself. They're watching something beyond the lens. I click through the feed, scanning, my fingers twitching, and then one of them moves. Slowly, deliberately, tilts his head toward the camera. I freeze. The movement is wrong. Too slow, too calculated. I lean closer, The figure shifts, turning fully now, lifting its featureless face toward the lens. I swear, it looks like me. I don't check the time when I leave. I don't look back at the mannequins or the food court or the cameras. I just get in my car, start the engine, and go. The mall disappears in my rearview mirror, swallowed by the night. The air outside feels thick, humid, but the cold sweat on my back refuses to fade. My hands grip the wheel too tight. Every instinct screams at me to keep driving, to never come back. But when I reach into my pocket, my stomach drops. My notebook is gone. Instead, my fingers close around something older, leather-bound, dusty. The old security lock. I don't remember taking it. With shaking hands, I flip to the last page, the page that held the final chilling entry from the other guard. The one who wrote about the patterns, about how the mall doesn't sleep when we do. There wasn't space for more writing before, but now the ink is fresh. The pen stroke still wet. A new entry. Night 2. The patterns are becoming clearer. The mall doesn't sleep when we do. We never really leave. The breath catches in my throat. My pulse hammers in my ears. I tear my eyes away, gripping the log as if it might disappear. Then I notice something else, something written in the margins, almost like an afterthought. The ink is faded, older than the last entry, maybe years old. A single sentence scrawled in unsteady handwriting. Check your reflection. My heart stops. Slowly I tilt the rearview mirror. In the dim glow of the streetlights, I see my reflection. Only it isn't looking back at me. It's watching. And then, it smiles. July 3rd, the third night. I bolt upright in bed, gasping for breath. My sheets are damp with sweat, the air in my room thick and unmoving. My pulse pounds against my skull. I swallow hard, pressing my palms against the mattress, grounding myself. Oh, it was just a dream. That's what I tell myself. The clock on my nightstand reads 4:02 a.m., the same time as when I first got into bed, the same time it was when I tried to leave the mall. I rub my eyes, groggy, and reach for my phone. No new notifications, no calls. I open my contacts, my boss, my co-workers, anyone I could call to tell them I'm done. No names, just a blank screen. The radio hums softly from the corner of the room. I don't remember turning it on. I turn the dial, but every station is the same. Static, layered with whispers. I glance toward the window, expecting to see the familiar glow of streetlights, the occasional car passing by. Instead, my neighborhood is frozen. No movement, no wind, no people. Something isn't right. Then my phone buzzes, vibrating violently against my nightstand. I snatch it up. Unknown number.
Night 3. You need to see.
My stomach drops. I try to steady my breathing, but it's useless. And then I see it. My fingers are clutching something, something I don't remember picking up. The security lock. Open to a new page. My own handwriting.
We never left.
Stagger back from my window, my hand still gripping the security lock. The words blur as I read them over and over again. We never left. My heart races. I can feel the weight of panic starting to close in on me, pressing against my chest, suffocating. I force myself to breathe, to focus. God, I need to shake this off. I tell myself it's just a bad dream. It's all in my head. I push myself up from the bed, trying to find some sense of normalcy. I throw on my jacket, my hands shaking as I grab my car keys from the dresser. Maybe a drive will clear my mind. I can just go out and get some fresh air. open the door. The cool night air hits my face, but something feels wrong. The street is still, too still. There's no hum of traffic, no distant chatter of neighbors, just silence. I take a step outside, and I blink. The world shifts. I'm no longer standing on my street. I'm back in the mall. The lights hum above me, the air stale, heavy with the scent of old food and dust. My hands are still trembling, but now they're gripping the security desk. My uniform is on, the familiar weight of it, and the monitors flicker to life in front of me. Wait, I didn't drive here. I didn't unlock the doors. I didn't... The PA system crackles. A low hum at first, and then a voice. My voice echoes through the speakers, sounding garbled and far too calm as well. Night three begins now. I freeze, my breath caught in my throat. The voice, my voice, lingers in the empty air like a weight I can't escape. This isn't a dream, no. This is happening. I move through the halls, forcing myself to stay calm, but the mall has changed. It isn't just showing me things anymore, it's shifting around me. Pass a clothing store, and for a moment everything seems normal. The shelves are stocked, employees are folding shirts, customers are browsing. The fluorescent lights hum softly, but something is wrong. The mannequins, they're all turned toward me. Every single one. I step back, my breath hitching in my throat. The store is still moving, time flowing like it should, but the mannequins don't belong in it. They're frozen in place, heads tilted just slightly too much as if they're aware of me. I move on, heart pounding. A sudden burst of laughter echoes down the hall. I turn my head, and a child no older than 7 or 8 darts past me, giggling. Just a blur of motion. But their clothes, they don't belong here. The faded overalls, the little cap, the worn leather shoes. 1950. The child vanishes around a corner before I can react. I swallow hard, forcing myself to keep walking. I pass a dark storefront, catching a glimpse of my reflection in the glass. And then I stop. I take a step forward. So does my reflection. But then, it doesn't. It lingers, watching me. My stomach twists. I turn away, picking up the pace. God, I need to get out of here. I need to... The food court. I don't remember walking down the stairs, but I'm already here. And I know immediately it's changed. The menus aren't the same. The names are different. The lettering, strange, shifting between languages I don't recognize. The air is thick with the scent of fresh food, burgers, fries, sweet cinnamon, like someone just finished eating. But the tables are empty. Something is feeding here. And then the PA system crackles back to life. The garbled static fades and the voice is clearer now. And it speaks my name. I freeze. The voice is waiting for me. I force myself to think, to act. The mall is pulling me deeper in, twisting around me like a maze with no exit. But there has to be a way to understand it, a way to fight back. The security office. I push through the door, flicking on the desk lamp. It barely cuts through the darkness, but I don't need much light. I need answers. I yank open the filing cabinet, flipping through forgotten paperwork, skimming the brittle pages for anything that can explain this place. And then I find them. Old newspaper clippings, yellowed and curling at the edges, stuffed into the back of a drawer like someone wanted them forgotten. Well, the headlines hit me like a punch to the gut. Mall construction halted after workers go missing. Controversy surrounds land purchase. Native groups protest disturbed burial site. Grand opening set for July 4th, 1982. All the pieces fall into place, and my stomach turns. This place was never supposed to be built. They buried something when they paved over the past. The land remembers and it doesn't forgive. My hands tremble as I reach for the security lock. I don't remember opening it. I don't remember writing anything, but there, in the same handwriting as the last entries, is something new. Night 3. You are a part of it now. I drop the log like it had just burned me and I back away. Then the PA system crackles. The voice is louder now and it's laughing. Well, I've made my decision. I don't care what's happening. I don't care about explanations anymore. I'm done. I shove the security log into a drawer, grab my jacket and head straight for the exit. My footsteps echo too loudly against the tile, bouncing back at me from angles that don't make sense. The air feels even thicker, like it's watching me. I don't look at the storefronts, I don't check my reflection, I just walk. And then, I see it, or I don't. The exit is gone. The glass doors that should lead to the parking lot, bricked over, solid, seamless, as if they were never there. I spin around, my pulse hammering. Maybe I took a wrong turn. Maybe the mole is just messing with me. I take another hallway, following the glowing exit sign. It leads me right back to the security office. I try again, another hallway, another door, but no matter which way I go, I end up back here. I grip the edge of the desk, struggling to breathe. The cameras flicker, their screens distorting, the food court, the mannequins, the looping halls, trapping me. And the PA system clicks on, the speakers crackle, hissing with static. A voice, low, distorted, right behind me. My breathing is ragged. The walls feel too close, the air too dense. I can't be trapped, I can't be trapped. I stumble back, turning down another hallway, but it's the same. No exit, no way out. Then out of the corner of my eye, I catch it. A reflection. A dark storefront window, a warped, glossy surface. My reflection is there, but it's not moving with me. I freeze. My chest tightens. I lift a shaking hand. It doesn't. It just stands there watching, and then it smiles. A slow, deliberate grin stretches across its face, a smile I didn't make. My breath catches again in my throat as it takes a step forward, out of the glass. I stumble back, my pulse hammering in my ears. The thing that looks like me but isn't me takes another step forward. Its eyes are wrong, too dark, too knowing, and then movement. Behind the glass, more figures appear. First, I think it's just shadows, just tricks of the dim mall lights, but no, they look like me, not just one, not just two, dozens, all standing in the darkness, watching. Their faces, my face, a slack, expressionless, waiting. The PA system crackles again, the static sharp in my ears. Then, in a voice I recognize as my own, it speaks one last time. Night 3 is complete. Welcome home. July 4th, the last night. I wake up with a start. My hands are cold. My breath is shallow. My heart pounds against my ribs like I've just been running. I don't remember falling asleep. I don't remember coming here. But I'm already at my security desk. My uniform is on, neatly buttoned. I've been on shift for hours. The monitors cast their familiar glow, flickering softly, showing the same empty corridors I've walked 100 times before. Except, my security log is open in front of me, pages filled with my own handwriting, entries I don't remember writing. I flip through them, my fingers trembling. The dates stretch back farther than they should, weeks, months, maybe years. Then I see the last entry. The ink is fresh. Night 4 begins now. Oh, a shudder rose through me. I pushed back from the desk, trying to stand, trying to shake off the fog in my head. For a split second, I feel it. I'm in two places at once. I step my head toward the monitors. One of the cameras shows the west hallway. I'm standing there, patrolling, but I'm still here, sitting at the desk. I blink, my breath catching in my throat. The figure on the monitor, me, turns, slowly, deliberately, and looks straight at the camera, straight at me. Another burst of static explodes from the PA system. My own voice echoes through the speakers, flat, distant, like a recording played 1,000 times over.
Night 4 begins now.
I grip the edge of the desk, my pulse hammering in my ears. This isn't real. It can't be real. Then the monitors flicker. A new camera feed, a hallway, dimly lit. At the far end, someone stands just out of focus. They don't move, they don't breathe. But they're watching. The screen glitches. The figure is closer. Another glitch, closer still. I swallow hard, my body frozen in place, and then the screen goes black. The air shifts around me, thick and alive. And I am not alone. I step out into the hallway and I immediately know something is wrong. The mall is decaying. The storefronts are warped, their glass smeared with something greasy and opaque. The neon signs flicker, not just on and off, but between decades. One second they're brand new, glowing bright, advertising sales long since past. The next they're shattered, rusted, dangling from wires like severed tendons. Above me something drips from the ceiling, a slow, steady patter against the tile. At first I think it's just water, but, well, is it just another leak from this dying building? When I step closer I see it. The liquid is thick, dark. Clings to the ceiling beams like oil, sluggish and alive. I choke down the urge to gag. The air is different too, it's heavier, thicker than ever. The usual mall scent of stale popcorn and disinfectant is gone. In its place is something rotten, something that reminds me of old meats left out in the heat. Then, a flicker. The lights overhead buzz and shudder, and for a moment I think they're about to cut out completely, but no. They turn on. One by one, down the corridor, a path of light stretching forward, leading me deeper in. The cold sweat creeps down my back. The mall isn't just falling apart, it's changing. Around a corner and I freeze. Ahead, near the far end of the wall, someone's there. A security guard. Relief surges in my chest, irrational and desperate. I almost call out, but something stops me. He's standing too still. Take a step closer, my breath shallow. Hey, I say. My voice is hoarse. Hey man, what's... The figure moves. Not like a person, not naturally. His limbs jerk slightly out of sync, like a puppet on invisible strings. His head tilts too sharply, like his neck is made of brittle plastic. But he doesn't turn toward me. He just keeps walking. I take another step back, my pulse hammering. My fingers tingle, cold and numb, like I've been outside in the dead of winter without gloves. I look down at my hands, and for the first time I realize they don't feel like mine anymore. Don't know how long I've been walking. The halls stretch on forever, shifting under my feet like a living thing. I turn left where I swear there should be a dead end. I step through a doorway and somehow end up deeper inside than before. And the wall is watching. The PA system crackles overhead, the speakers distorted with static and something else. Voices. They come in faint at first, like old radio transmissions struggling to break through the interference, but then I recognize them. Security guards, past workers, leaving messages for each other. Back entrance door still jammed. I'll take a look tomorrow. Lost another delivery guy. Nobody saw him leave. Then, beneath it all, a whisper. soft, urgent.
If you're hearing this, you've been here too long.
I stop breathing. My skin crawls. Ahead, mannequins stand in storefront windows. Oh, I keep my eyes forward, telling myself they're just plastic, just lifeless props for a store that doesn't even exist anymore. But as I pass, they breathe. I hear the soft inhale, the almost imperceptible sigh of lungs expanding and contracting. I see the slow flutter of eyelids, the shift of shoulders, the minute twitch of fingers. I tell myself to keep moving, keep walking, but then I see a face. One of the mannequins standing among the rest has my face. I stumble back, heart slamming against my ribs. It doesn't move, but I know it's alive. I rush past, refusing to look again. In the next corridor, a bulletin board is mounted to the wall. Papers are yellowed, curling at the edges, and a photo is pinned in the center. It's an old group picture, mall employees standing in front of the fountain. The grand opening, 1982. I scan the faces, half expecting to see someone I recognize, some proof that all of this isn't real. And then I see him. A man in the back row. Same eyes, same jawline, same slouched posture. Looks exactly like me. Feel sick. I turn away and for a second I catch my reflection in the glass of an old vending machine. My stomach knots. It's smiling. I'm not, but it is. I take a step closer, but my reflection stays put. Its grin widening, teeth gleaming too sharp in this dim light. I spin around, checking the other windows. In one, my reflection watches me. Face blank, eyes hollow. In another, it mouths something. I can't hear it, but I know it's speaking. It looks like a warning. And then, a flicker. The mall directory screen beside me changes. The old half-burned map vanishes, replaced by a single message. Food court, below. I don't know why, but my gut twists. There is no below. There was never a below level. No lower level. But ahead, where there was only wall before, a new pathway has appeared, leading downward. I don't want to go, but my legs start moving anyway. Oh, the air is so thick, humid. Each step down, the hidden staircase feels heavier. The dim yellow lights above me flickering like dying embers. The food court shouldn't be here. It wasn't here. But as I reach the bottom, I see rows of tables. The glow of neon signs, the low, distorted hum of voices, chewing, slurping, swallowing. Every table is occupied. And every single person eating is me. Some are younger, barely past their teenage years, nervously hunched over plastic trays. Others are older, their faces lined with exhaustion, blank stares locked onto half-eaten meals. And some shouldn't be alive. Their skin is rotting. Grey, sagging flesh hangs loosely from their bones. Teeth chatter as they chew, but they never swallow. Some don't even have lips anymore, just blackened gums and empty eyes. I stagger back. The stench of stale food and decay hits me like a wall. The chewing stops. They all look up. My stomach twists. A voice slithers through the air, low and wet, as if whispered through water. Join us. My breath hitches and my limbs feel heavy. I glance at their trays. The food is moving. The burgers pulse, their surfaces breathing, the noodles writhe like worms, the meat glistens too red, too raw, too alive, and then my stomach growls. I grip the edge of a table, my vision swimming. When was the last time I ate? My hands tremble. How long have I been here? And then a tray slides across the table in front of me. It's mine, half eaten. Food is still warm. Next to the tray sits a plastic name tag.
my name. I've been here before.
I run. I don't know where I'm going. It doesn't matter. My footsteps hammer against the tile, echoing too loud in this cavernous space. My breath comes in ragged gasps. The mall twists around me, corridors bending, stretching. The storefronts glitch between decades. 1982, 1996, 2008. Now. Pass a toy store where shelves overflow with boxed action figures. Ones I had as a kid, still sealed, pristine. I pass a record shop where a clerk in bell bottoms hums along to a song I don't recognize. I pass a jewelry store where mannequins wear engagement rings that were never bought. But one of them matches the one I almost gave her. No. 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 I force myself forward, turning down another hall. I'm back at the food court. No. The PA system hisses to life. My voice, my own voice, whispers through the speakers. You can't leave. You never left. Grip my head, shaking. This isn't real. It can't be. Right, my security lock. I fumble it open, pages crinkling beneath my trembling fingers. The entries, there are too many, I mean, decades of them. The ink fades and changes, shifting from modern ballpoint to scratchy drags of fountain pens. The oldest pages are so yellowed that the dates are barely legible. But the handwriting, it's mine. Over and over, over years, over lifetimes. I look up. There's a mirror ahead. A dusty, smudged department store mirror. God, I don't want to see. But I step forward anyway. I look. The face staring back. It's not me. Not the way I remember. My hair is thinner, my eyes are dull, sunken, tired. The lines on my face are too deep, too deep. I lift a shaking hand to my cheek, and the reflection doesn't follow. It just stands there waiting. And then, a shadow rises behind me. Tall, familiar. I see it in the glass looming over my shoulder. My reflection. It steps forward, slowly, deliberately, and then it places a cold, steady hand on my shoulder. I collapse. My legs give out beneath me, and I sink to the floor. The air is thick, suffocating, pressing in like a weighted blanket. The voices soften, losing their malice. They coo, they soothe. You belong here. Oh, it's easier this way. My breath slows. The fear is slipping away, or maybe I am. My other self kneels beside me. It doesn't speak, it just smiles. A knowing, patient smile, like it's been waiting for me to understand. Something in my chest loosens. My mind fogs, and thoughts are unraveling like frayed thread. What was I afraid of again? This is what happens. This is how it always ends. I feel it like a fracture in my being. I'm splitting, no, multiplying. Something steps forward from the shadow. Then another, and another. I look up. The mannequins are closer now. Their faces aren't blank anymore. They're me. They always were. Darkness, silence, and then a flicker of fluorescent light. The soft hum of monitors, the faint buzz of an old security camera shifting in place. The security desk sits empty. The chairs pulled out slightly as if someone was just sitting there. A half-drunk cup of coffee rests beside the keyboard, the liquid inside long gone cold. Footsteps echo through the hallway. Slow. Caution. A new security guard steps into the room. Young, fresh-faced, his uniform crisp, untouched by time.
He blinks at the quiet hum of the machinery, adjusting the radio clip to his shoulder. The job is easy, they told him. A quiet shift. Just keep an eye on the monitor. He tosses his bag onto the desk and lets out a small breath, shaking off the nervous energy. The place feels strange, like stepping into a room where someone else was just a moment before. And then his eyes land on something, a small, leather-bound security lock. It sits neatly on the desk, as if waiting for him. Curious, he picks it up, flipping through the pages. Ugh, the paper feels old, but the ink is fresh. A faint frown creases his face as he skims over the last few entries. The handwriting looks familiar. Then his eyes settle on the final entry. Night one. The mall is quiet. Nothing strange to report. Cold prickle creeps up his spine. Something about this doesn't feel right. He glances around the empty room. The silence presses in, and then the PA system crackles. The sound makes him jump. Static hisses through the speakers, warping and stretching before settling into something clearer. A voice. His own voice. Night one begins now. The guard's breath catches. His grip tightens around the security lock. His pulse thunders in his ears. He turns toward the monitors, and on one of the screens, the mall security feed flickers to life. The camera shows the main hallway, the dark storefronts, the mannequins standing motionless, the quiet food court beyond. And then a figure steps into frame. Oh, the guard stares. The figure is wearing his uniform. The figure is him. Stops in front of the camera and turns its head slowly. And then it smiles. And the screen cuts to black.
That was Welcome to the Graveyard Shift by Margot Holloway, brought to Eerie Life by Dr. Creepin. There's something extra chilling about a story set in a place meant to be abandoned, but never truly empty. From flickering cameras to food court echoes, tonight's tale gave us a horror that doesn't leap out at you. It watches and waits for the perfect moment to strike. Dr. Creepin, of course, was the perfect voice to tell it. Born in the haunted hills of England and now residing in the equally mysterious Netherlands, he splits his days between university lecturing and conjuring nightmares for eager audiences across the globe. You'll find his work on Dr. Creepin's Vault, his YouTube channel filled with late-night frights and whispered warnings. Or if you prefer your horror in podcast form, check out Dr. Creepin's Dungeon, where the stories go darker, deeper, and sometimes a little too personal. You can also find him on Instagram and Facebook, where he connects with fellow fans of the strange and shadowy. And hey, if this was your first encounter with the Doctor, there's more where that came from. Be sure to check out his four earlier performances on episode number 320, The Cost of Curiosity, episode number 330, Whispers on the Wind, episode number 344, Dark Roots, and episode number 364, What We Bury. They're all available now and guaranteed to keep you company on the longest nights. That wraps it up for tonight's patrol through the paranormal, listener. If you enjoyed the tale and Dr. Creepin's chilling delivery, don't keep it to yourself. Subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a review, a rating, or a comment. Your words help us haunt new ears. And for more horror, exclusive content, and ad-free episodes, visit us at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com and become a patron. We'll keep the power on, so you don't have to. You'll also find us on YouTube at Chilling Tales for Dark Nights.
Like, subscribe, and ring that bell to be the first to hear what's creeping out of the vaults next. Drop a comment and let us know. What did you think was the scariest moment tonight? The logbook writing itself? The smiling mannequin? The other you behind the glass? We want to know. And before you go, stop by Dr. Creepin's channel and show your appreciation. Tell him Steve from Chilling Tales sent you. And maybe ask him what his reflection does when he's not looking. I've been your host, Steve Taylor. And I'll be back this Wednesday for another terrifying tale. Until then, turn off the lights and turn on the dark. Sweet dreams, listeners. Sweet dreams.